You are Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, Heat Nation. I'm David Romilla, credentialed reporter and the host of Locked On Heat. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, please make sure to subscribe to the show if you haven't already, wherever you listen to podcasts to get the latest episodes. A day after focusing on the positives following a loss to the Brooklyn Nets, notably the aggressive scoring of Bam Adebayo, today's episode will be a little bit about some of the concerns that have cropped up lately, for me in particular, namely KZ Ogpala, Eric Spoelstra's decision-making, and I'll kick off the show with this question. Does Miami have a Kelly Olynyk problem? Now, I can already picture all of you nodding your head in agreement. I've never seen a player so widely disliked by a fan base as Olynyk, and I frankly can't quite understand it. I know that there's the inconsistency issue. That's a big part of the Kelly O problem. And I also think that there's this perception of him as a 7-foot-tall, gangly white guy with long hair and a ratty-looking goatee, that perhaps he's just not your typical basketball player. You're certainly not your typical NBA player. I don't know. Maybe that's it. Maybe it doesn't play much of a factor at all. But there are, it just seems like there's a very loud contingent of fans that always say, get Olynyk off my team. And I'm not quite sure I understand. Although, to address the question, yes, there is a Kelly O problem. He does struggle, and he has been struggling from the field in particular. Look, he's shooting 32% overall from three-point shots, 32 on catch-and-shoot opportunities. Not much better when he's bringing the ball up and pulls up in transition or anything like that. So at this point, his deadliest weapon isn't much of a factor. And if he's out there taking up time, and he did on against the Brooklyn Nets on Saturday, he played 22 minutes, not really playing and doing anything. If he's not going to shoot well, he's not going to be making an impact whatsoever, then he's simply taking up space, unnecessarily so. And look, I will say this. Eric Spoelstra doesn't have a lot of options right now. I was, well, not mocked necessarily. I don't think anybody really even acknowledged it. I suggested that Jared Sullinger, who has been out of the league for a couple of years, is looking to be back in the NBA. He's still young. He can still contribute. He had some nagging injuries when he was last with the Toronto Raptors that kind of took him out. If you remember, Sullinger made his name of sorts with the Boston Celtics, then was with the Raptors for a couple seasons, went through some injuries, and he's been out of the league for the last couple of years, but he's in shape, he's healthy. He was working out in Miami right before he retired. I thought at that point in time it was a done deal that he would join the Heat just because he seemed perfect as a reclamation project. Miami showed no interest for whatever reason, but I still think that he could be a good fit here. He's a guy who can stretch the floor, he's a big body, he's a rebounder, whatever. The point is that there aren't a lot of other options here. I don't think right now Precious Achiuwa and Bam Adebayo aren't playing together. They're not going to share the floor. Eric Spoelstra has already indicated that he just doesn't feel comfortable with that because he doesn't want to rush Achiuwa too much. And what he does is basically somewhat duplicative of what Bam does. Obviously not the same kind of scoring, not the same aggressive level of offense, although that was somewhat questionable from Bam Adebayo. But as far as Achiuwa is concerned, he's an able defender, a kind of guy who can switch onto multiple opponents. He's a great rebounder, but he clogs the lane a little bit. He's not going to stretch the floor at this point in his career. So having him out there with Bam just, again, takes up too much room there, doesn't leave anybody out there any kind of opportunity to drive through the hoop or anything like that. So Achiuwa and Adebayo not going to be playing together. As much as we'd like to envision it as this exciting pairing where they're going to be attacking the basket and defending everybody and just hounding them, right now in today's league, you need some floor stretching ability. Neither of them really do it, although Bam is obviously quickly getting to that point. So there aren't a lot of other options on the roster currently. So that's why I suggested Sullinger as another big that might be able to offer something that's missing from the four spot. Of course, I can already hear everybody yelling, KZ Ogpala, KZ Ogpala. I don't know what to talk about regarding Ogpala, although I will devote next segment to it because I think it's worth mentioning, but I just, if he hasn't gone to playing time at this point, he's probably not going to get it moving forward either, so I don't even consider that a realistic option. Myers Leonard's not going to play. He's even slower than Olynyk. Although he can stretch a floor arguably better than Olynyk can, or more consistently as a shooter. I mean, Kelly O is a good shooter. Let's be upfront about that. He is a very good shooter, even though that shot is not falling consistently this year. And you have to look to last year's production when he was shooting around 40%. I'm not sure what the issue is. And I know somebody has tweeted out or has been going through the Heat Twitter of late that he's just missing wide open shots. And that's true. 18%, according to NBA.com stats, if an opponent is 4 to 6 feet away from him, basically a wide open shot. That's not great. That's not great if he's got that kind of space. They're giving him that much room now, and he's not knocking down those shots. I feel like the perception around the league is still that he is a capable shooter, so he still has some gravity as a shooter. But if he's that wide open, again, maybe it's because he's getting those open looks as everybody drives through the hoop and kicks it out to a wide open shooter. I think Bam is still actively looking to get Olynyk going, especially now that he's in the starting lineup. But overall, Olynyk has struggled. It's a concern. And it's also not. I know that's the kind of analysis you're looking for here. He's not going to be the starter any longer, much longer. Because I think once you get your full complement of players back, my feeling is that Jimmy and Tyler will go back to the starting lineup and they'll provide the scoring, playmaking, and in Tyler's case, the floor stretching ability that Olynyk is currently doing so. And I think you can have a more defensive-minded presence at the four, and I think that's Mo Harkless. Now, Harkless seems to be thriving or at least playing somewhat better in the three spot just because he's a little bit lankier, not the kind of big body. But Olynyk's not known for being a great defender either, although he's better than I think a lot of people give him credit for. But Harkless, you know, all that activity that Spo loves, the fact that he's been deflecting passes so frequently, to me, Harkless is probably going to get the starting nod once Jimmy and Tyler return to the lineup. So as much as it's a concern about Olynyk right now, currently, I don't think it's going to be an issue for much longer, assuming that, you know, Jimmy Butler will return to the lineup sometime soon. As I mentioned yesterday via Twitter, my feeling is that he'll probably be back on Wednesday against the Los Angeles Clippers. Of course, he's still ruled out for Monday's game in the rematch against the Nets. Rather unfortunate because it would have been great to see both teams fully healthy right now. Brooklyn's big three is liable to be out there intact on Monday, but Miami will not have their floor leader, their floor general. And so I don't know what to expect from Monday's game, but it might not be, Miami has had issues in the past where they've had a really great showing the first game and then kind of just, you know, shit the bed in the second. So I hate to put it so bluntly, but that's the reality. It happened against the Toronto Raptors. It happened against the Philadelphia 76ers. And while they mustered a great effort against the Nets in game one, and Bam, of course, led the way with his 41 points, not sure if they'll be able to duplicate that. Let's see. You know, he mentioned after the game something I did not mention in my recap of his performance, that he wants to do this moving forward. He wants to be aggressive and looking to score just from the jump. As soon as he gets into the game, looking to be aggressive. We'll see if it happens. That's going to be what I'm looking for mostly on Monday. But as far as Eric Spoelstra, there are some concerns. I'll talk about that later on the show. You're listening to Locked On Heat. But if you want to place a bet on what's going on, you want to make a little money on sports and, you know, lots of different options that you can choose, then there's only one place that has you covered and one place that we trust as a network. That's betonline.ag. If you sign up today for a free account at betonline.ag and use that promo code LOCKEDON, you'll get a 50% welcome bonus. NFL games are still going on. Of course, the NBA is in action, so make sure that you don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Make a little money, get in on the action, and don't forget to use that promo code LOCKEDON to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. It's BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Betting on the NBA doesn't have to be a guessing game. If you listen to the new Locked On Bets podcast, you get daily picks and quick-hitting advice from experts to make the smartest possible wagers. Subscribe to Locked On Bets podcast, brought to you by betonline.ag, wherever you get podcasts. So this question actually came to me following the Saturday loss to the Nets from Sean, who asked, what's your opinion on how Kaze Okpala has played during his short stint in the game? Unfortunately, I didn't get a chance to answer that question as I was focusing mostly on Bam's incredible performance. So my apologies to you, Sean, but I did want to address it because, well, Kaze did have a solid game, I guess. He came off the bench, played 10 minutes, went 1 of 2 from the floor. One of them was a three-pointer. Both of his shots actually were three-pointers. Also contributed 2 rebounds, a nice block, 3 points, a -2 plus-minus rating. I know Solomon Hill mentioned something via Twitter that, you know, KZ comes in the game and all of a sudden Miami cuts their lead. So, one, I want to acknowledge that Solomon Hill, Heat lifer, love to see him still involved and following what's going on with the Heat. Similarly, Justice Winslow was talking about Bam and his incredible performance. I know they're friends a lot more closely than, you know, maybe some of the other guys on the team. But to see Winslow still monitoring the Heat warms my heart. And Solomon Hill, look, I like Solomon. I know, unfortunately, a lot of people saw him as somewhat of a joke. But to me, he never really felt that way. Like, he was an NBA player who's, you know, trying to figure out his place in the NBA. You know, as a career, you want to be able to understand, you know, where you can contribute. And he got paid a lot of money and from the Indiana Pacers, and he never quite lived up to that contract. And so there was always questions about what Solo can do. But, like, he's a 3-and-D player. He's contributing. You know, the Hawks love what he can do. And I think Heat fans started to come around based on his performance in the Orlando bubble. So kudos to Solo for monitoring the Heat and staying close to the team. And, you know, if he ever winds up coming back, I would love to see it. As far as Ogpala, you know, it's tough to kind of put your finger on anything that Ogpala does well or badly. He looks more comfortable now as the season has gone by. I mean, you recall his big preseason game against the Toronto Raptors, and everybody was frothing at the mouth, thinking to themselves, this is it. This is what we needed to see from Ogpala. He's going to go out there. He's going to start. He's going to dominate. He's going to be the player that we all hope. KZ season, free KZ. It's all coming together. And, of course, then he doesn't play for the next I don't know how many games. And he's been getting spot minutes here and there, mostly because of Miami's depleted roster. And so I don't know what to make of his playing time. I've talked about it before. If you're listening to the show for the first time, well, welcome. But secondly, I also think that there's something behind the scenes regarding practice that just doesn't seem to fit well with Eric Spoelstra. And I brought this up last week in contrast with Kendrick Nunn, who has been largely pretty bad since last February before he got hurt. And then in the Orlando bubble struggled. I know he was diagnosed with COVID. He just was never able to find his footing, whether it's COVID-related or not. I don't think it is. Some people have indicated it might be. We'll never get any clarification about that. Kendrick hasn't said anything one way or the other. He said that he's felt fine, even in the Orlando bubble. He never gave any credence to whether or not it was COVID-related as far as his inability to find any kind of real foothold in the roster. Regardless, the contrast to me comes into the way Eric Spoelstra spoke about Nunn. To speak about him so glowingly, you know, talking about his grit and his determination and the fact that he stuck with it, there's just, you can tell there's an admiration for what Kendrick Nunn can do. And he just never has used that. Well, he doesn't use that for a lot of players, but he certainly has never used that with KZ Ogpala. And I don't, you know, I still don't know why Heat fans have rallied behind Ogpala so much. Is it because there's length there, because they traded a second-round pick in order to draft him a couple years ago? Is it just whatever's in the mystery box? It feels like it's a combination of all those things. It also feels somewhat of a joke. I feel like if you ask most casual Heat fans, they probably wouldn't know who KZ Ogpala is. I don't think they'd have much of an opinion. But if you spend more than 10 minutes on Heat Twitter, there's a good chance you'll see a hashtag regarding KZ. As far as his actual play on Saturday night, it was good. I feel like it was good. He looked smooth on both shot attempts. One was a corner three that he was able to knock down. The first one was actually a shot where he saw DeAndre Jordan coming towards him. Jordan launched into the air. KZ put the ball down, just waited for Jordan to sail past, took a sidestep dribble, and wound up releasing it. Looked smooth. I thought he was going to be able to knock it down. Either way, Olynyk was at the rim, and he was able to at least fight for the rebound. He got drew a foul. So it turned out to be a positive play for the Heat. Unfortunately, Ogpala not able to knock down that three-pointer. But he also had that big block on Bruce Brown, who drove the lane. And Ogpala seemed to just catch the ball in the air and palm it and then outlet the pass to get a transition opportunity going. But these plays, they all seem so insignificant. You know, a good three-pointer, great. A nice block, great. And yet there's nothing there to build off of. I still don't know what to make of what Ogpala can or can't do. Because while he's shown flashes ever since that preseason game, maybe even dating back to last year while he was mostly with the Sioux Falls Skyforce, I just don't know why Spoelstra is not comfortable playing him. He just doesn't seem like he's going to be the option at the four. And, you know, as I talked about before, Olenek's not that option. Harkless probably can't hold it down very long. Achiuwa's not going to be that option this year. To me, Ogpala seems like the best fit because he's a combination long defender, switchable, a guy who can put the ball down, drive to the hoop, can also stretch the floor somewhat, but that he can't tie it together or that he hasn't impressed Spoelstra. There's just a combination of things there that just don't seem to be working in KZ's favor. Now, a lot of people suggested that maybe it's time to trade him, free him, get him somewhere. I don't think we're at that point yet. I don't think we're at that part of his career where he needs a change of scenery in order to help unleash what he can do. Sometimes it just takes time. I think that's the reality of it. You have to kind of take your moments when you can get them and build on them and find a way to get Spoelstra to play you more often, whether that's at practice or whether that's in the games, I'm not sure. I will say this, and maybe I'm reading into this, but I have to, because there's not much else to work off of here when it comes to Spo and his feelings about Ogpala. He launched that shot where Jordan sailed past him, and he kind of just stood watching it. Even though there was nobody in between the space where he was on the right wing, launched a shot, and then Olenek was on the left side of the hoop, surrounded by two Nets defenders. Nobody in between there. Again, I guess it must have been on a fast break opportunity. Either way, between the rim and Ogpala, there wasn't anybody there. You would have liked maybe to see him follow up his shot, and maybe that's the kind of small, insignificant detail that Spo likes to see. I am totally reading into this, and maybe you're kind of shaking your head going, who cares if he follows his shot up or not? Well, I mean, it's a kind of play that shows effort and determination. Again, those same things that he lauds in Kendrick Nunn and so many others, and Bam and Jimmy and Tyler. He's never really stuttered about KZ Ogpala, and maybe that's the thing, is that Ogpala, as much of a gifted athlete as he is, doesn't put in that extra 5-10%. Again, hard to quantify. You have to read into it. It's all very speculative on my part, but there's nothing else there that I can really work off of, considering we get some positive signs of KZ in games, and then he sits for a couple of days, and we never really get to see him again, and then he struggles, and then he doesn't play again for a couple of games. So whether he's good or bad, it doesn't seem to matter. His playing time doesn't seem to change or waver, and he's not going to get an increase in that. So it's a really tough place for everybody. And unfortunately, I don't know that Ogpala is going to show out anytime soon. I'd like that to be the case. But maybe there is something going on with Eric Spoelstra. Maybe he's to blame. I hate to even think about that, but it seems like a lot of you are willing to place that blame on Spo. And I'll debate that here in the next segment on Locked On Heat. One thing you can't debate, though, is with the ever-increasing number of makes and models, it's impossible to stock all the parts you might need in a traditional chain storefront. So why endure pointless or intimidating questions while the person behind the counter orders parts that you're looking for on their computer, choosing only the brand their warehouse happens to carry? You've got computers with access to rockauto.com at home and in your pocket. Rockauto.com is a family-owned business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. You can choose from hundreds of manufacturers on their easy-to-use site, and you get everything you need with just a few easy clicks delivered directly and safely to your door. Why spend more for the exact same parts at a chain store or worse, at a car dealership? RockAuto.com's low prices are the same for everybody. So go to RockAuto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck, and then go to that section that says, how did you hear about us, and write Locked On so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car or truck will ever need. That's RockAuto.com. Just a reminder, you can always reach me via email at lockedonheat@gmail.com or via Twitter using the hashtag AskLOHeat. Be sure to please subscribe to the show and leave a review. I've been glad to get a lot of emails from listeners about anything that I say or do on the show, whether it's as long as it's constructive, welcome it 100%. Is there a problem with Eric Spoelstra? I feel like there's so many people kind of leaning towards that direction now because the season has gone so badly. And there are, as always, decisions that people question about who's playing and who's not. I just spent 10 minutes talking about KZ Okpala. I think that that's a certainly not a blemish, but it's a big question mark when you're assessing what Spo has been able to done. My feeling, first of all, is that I just had a point where I don't question Eric Spoelstra anymore. I think he's earned the benefit of the doubt and then some. We all knew he could get the most out of the talent on this team. We all know that he's done that with less talented teams. He's been able to coach Dwayne Wade earlier in his career. He was able to coach the big three. He's done everything. Like, I was so impressed in particular with him last season during the bubble when he just never seemed to waver or just never seemed like he was fretting or worrying or there was any kind of pressure. Yeah, he's direct. Yeah, he's engaged. Yeah, maybe he's emotional. But he never seems to lose his cool. And that really buoys players to a huge degree. Like, just being able to look in that sideline and go, oh, he's got this. We know he's got this. He's done this before. That's something players put a lot of stock in. So it's I'm at a point where I just don't question what Spo has done. But I know a lot of people in the Heat fan base don't feel the same way. He's not going to get fired anytime soon. That job is his for as long as he wants it. He would have to have several really, really bad seasons. And I think we've already seen the least talented rosters that he could put together and still got them to 41-41. So I don't know what rebuilding effort you'd have to put together where Spo doesn't find a way of maximizing the players on his roster. He lost a Hall of Famer in Chris Bosh. He lost a Hall of Famer in Dwayne Wade. Chris still at a peak of his abilities. And, you know, he still was able to take Derek Williams, an older Goran Dragic, James Johnson, Deion Waiters, etc., and get them to play well as a unit. That's hats off to Eric Spoelstra, now and forever. Has there been bad decision-making? No, I really can't see it. I'm trying to think of it from that perspective. If I'm trying to be negative about it, so why isn't he doing this? Look, the KZ thing is infuriating. He has to have his reasons. We're not privy to everything that's going on there. I don't know if he's playing somebody too much or too little. I don't personally think he is. I feel like he's doing what he can, given the limitations of this roster and how depleted it's been this season. Like, you go into every game hoping you're going to have two superstars on your team with Jimmy Butler and Bam Adebayo. And you haven't had Bam for a handful of games, and you haven't had Jimmy for almost all the season, at least over half of it. That has to change the way you approach any scenario. And from there, you're kind of just adjusting on the fly. And then you lose Goran for a couple games. You lose Tyler for five games now. You're trying to figure out what to do as far as the power forward spot is concerned. You're also developing young players. But you've got Duncan to be a consistently great scoring threat. You've got everybody there to play as well as possible. You're giving effort. Like, maybe there's been two or three games this season where you kind of see, wow, this is just a bad loss, and they're not really giving 100%. Some people might question that. I can already hear a lot of you saying, well, you know, they're not playing defense at 100%. A lot of that might be effort, and some of it might be talent or just personnel and the limitations that you have with this current group of available players. You've got two All-NBA defenders in Avery Bradley and Jimmy Butler who aren't available. That should count for something. And so you have to give Spo some slack here. I know that we're all at a point where there's a lot of frustration from the fan base, and you want to direct it somewhere. And so it feels just the norm to be able to direct it towards Spo and say, what are you doing? Throw KZ out there. Play him 25 to 30 minutes a game. At least we'll see what we have in a player like him. But the inverse or the response to that is, what if Okpala goes out there and fails? Through no fault of Eric Spoelstra's or not, through whatever Spo can do, he's done up to this point. He just says, you know what, KZ, you go out there and play your game. And then KZ winds up being a mess of a player. Like, I feel like Ogpala is probably the biggest blight on Spo's resume this season because he's not getting the playing time that a lot of you feel he deserves. And then if Ogpala goes out there and performs admirably, well, then you can blame Spo for it. But the reality is he has not made that mark yet. Now, if he goes out there and just, again, does not play up to the standards that the expectations that we've all placed on him, do we give Spo credit for being able to say, well, maybe he wasn't ready and I put him out there too soon? Or do we say, oh, this is just because of Eric Spoelstra? You see how it's a lose-lose situation here? For Spo, if he plays him and he plays well, then yeah, he'll take the blame for it. I mean, and that just hasn't happened yet. He's gotten some opportunities. He just hasn't been able to really show out much. It's not much. And I know that players need consistency and rhythm and everything else like that. And Spo, I guess, has denied Ogpala the opportunity to do so. But if he goes out there, if Ogpala goes out there and plays and he doesn't play well, does Spo get any credit for holding him back and not putting him out there and not risking him being exposed and not being ready? I doubt he does. And that's the whole issue here, is that we're quick to criticize Eric Spoelstra because he doesn't do what we want him to do or what you all want him to do as quickly as he should, or, you know, in your opinion. But when he's proven right, you know, then nobody's there to say, Spo was right. Ogpala wasn't ready. He wasn't a player. We're all quick to blame, but not to give credit for those smart decisions that he's made throughout the course of his career. And he's earned that level of trust from us. He's always made good decisions. Okay, I'm sorry. Maybe that's a little bit over-exaggerated. He has made mistakes. I think that's fair. He'll admit it. Nobody's perfect, and I think he'll be the first to admit it. But he's mostly been very, very good as a coach. And he's always, or he's usually done a lot of to help develop players and get them to maximize their abilities. And we've seen players go through this system and get paid elsewhere because of the fact that Eric Spoelstra was able to put them on a platform to achieve all that they can. And I think he has to get the credit for that, or at least a big part of it. And I don't think he should be getting the blame for this season. I really don't. Maybe you question some of the things he's done. Maybe he plays some lineups a little bit too long. Those things work out almost always during the course of the game. I don't know. Sometimes I feel like I am absolutely opposed to almost everything that Heat Twitter tends to say, because it just feels like every decision is micromanaged and analyzed and say, oh, why don't you play him more? Why don't you play him less? Take this guy out, put this guy in. It's just like, you know, these guys are all NBA players. I think you have to acknowledge that Spo probably knows what he's doing and that he's timing it to the best of his ability. Again, considering the limitations of this roster, if Jimmy had been healthy to start the season and hadn't missed a couple games and didn't miss the past 7 games due to COVID or, I'm sorry, health and safety protocols, would we still be in this position where we'd be criticizing Eric Spoelstra? Probably not. I think that the record of the team would probably be 9-7. I don't know. I'm sorry. Well, no, it's 6-9 right now, so they've played 15 games. But, you know, 10-5 seems a little unlikely. Let's say 9-6, the inverse. That's not bad this season. This season's going to be such a mess trying to keep track of what happens and the blowouts and who's available from a night-to-night basis. It's the most chaotic season in NBA history, and I think everybody's trying their best to be able to just tread water for as long as they possibly can until the playoff bubble begins later this year. Again, something I feel is going to happen. Even though Heat fans are going to be in the arena on Thursday, and I'll be there for that. That should be an interesting event. But I think the playoff bubble is something that's likely to happen because you don't want to take any chances moving forward. And I actually, as I've mentioned before, I feel like they should be the norm. As much as people love the atmosphere, I feel like it does level the playing field the way it should, which is why the Heat were able to triumph and accomplish all that they did. I don't know. Maybe I'm a little biased because they did overachieve to many people's opinions, but there were lowered expectations and they surpassed them and then some. But March Madness, it's just a few months away and the future of the NBA is on display right now. So get a head start on next year's draft analysis. I know so many of you people love the draft. And if you subscribe to Chad Ford's NBA Big Board podcast, draft guru Chad Ford will have his first Big Board of the Year out with profiles of Cade Cunningham, Jalen Suggs, Evan Mobley, and more. So subscribe to Chad Ford's NBA Big Board podcast wherever you get podcasts. I'm David Ramil, signing off and thanking you as always for your support.